Okay, welcome back to Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson with Jim Healy, and we are talking now about the Great Lakes State, the Wolverine State, our 10th most populous state, home to more than 10 million people. The 26th state in the Union, joined on January 26th, 1837. We're talking to a Michigander, and his name is Mike Bauer. Listeners to this radio station might know him as Mike Meisner. And this is a special edition. We almost always talk to people in the studio, but we had to reach out to Mike to get him back on our airwaves.
One way or the other,
and we found him, guess where? In Michigan.
In Michigan.
Where are you in Michigan right now, Mike?
I'm in Battle Creek, Michigan, the cereal city.
Kellogg's.
When you eat your cornflakes, that's where they were invented.
Michael, where in Michigan were you born?
I was born outside Detroit, actually, just a little bit. It was just down the road from where the first Little Caesars Pizza was. And Little Caesars Pizza was founded probably 6 weeks before I was born. And the first store was less than a mile from my house. So I kind of have a connection with Little Caesars. That's pretty much where it ends for me. But
here we are, a minute into the interview, and you've hit cereal and pizza. Are we doing a food tour of Michigan?
I think so. I think we could do that. Pop-Tarts comes next.
Ah, wonderful. Michael, how long did you live outside in the little burg of Detroit area?
I was about 18 or so, and I lived, kind of in the city. Woodward Avenue was only a few blocks away from my house. And if you know Detroit, Woodward Avenue was the first paved road in the United States. And it's also known as Michigan 1, but it is 8 lanes and it's divided, and it's a cruising road, man, because we're all about cars here, of course. And so you get your souped up car and you go on Woodward Avenue and go light to light. You stop at a stoplight, you do maybe a little racing, but I wasn't really into that. I wanted to be a farmer. I wanted the opposite of what I grew up in. So when I turned 18, I said, I'm going to get a farm somehow. And that's where my exodus started. Ended up going to school in Kalamazoo, which is just about half an hour from where I live now.
Western Michigan,
that's it.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty good party school back then, but it's kind of turned into really an amazing university. I mean, they've got a medical school now, and so I came back, I could hardly notice what it was. It's like my old dorm has been torn out, a lot has changed over the last 40 years or so.
So what is, for somebody who has never been to Michigan, how would you describe the geography? Have you been all over the state in the Upper Peninsula?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you take us on a road trip? What would people see in Michigan?
Yeah, you'd see a lot of cars. Because we're all about cars here, like I mentioned. But you've got the southern part of the state, which is fairly urbanized. So we're an hour from everywhere. I can almost get to Detroit in a little less than 2 hours. I can get to Grand Rapids in an hour. I can get to Kalamazoo, like I said, in about a half an hour. So I can get to the lake in about an hour. Lake Michigan is just about an hour from
us.
So we go to the beach, go up to Holland, which is called the Tulip City. And they have an amazing display of tulips, and they've got the Dutch windmill and all that kind of touristy stuff. But it's a nice town. And also all those towns along Lake Michigan are just real, real pleasant. And we're about an hour from that, too. If you get past like the right smack in the middle of the back of the hand, you're going to be, if you get north of there, we call it up north. So you're going up north. And when I was a kid, everybody that even with a relatively modest income would have a cottage up north. And every single weekend in the summer, people would just go up north. So you go up and fish and swim and all that kind of thing. So there's that connection. So if you get up into Traverse City, which is up in the Little Pinky, somewhere up in that area, then that becomes really pleasant. A lot of water, nice beaches. Sleeping Bear Dunes is up there. It's a national lake shore, which is just a lot of sand. And you can do a lot of hiking up there and that kind of thing. So when you get up past maybe the middle of the back of the hand there, you start to get in some really nice, more of a high country, but more wooded, of course, and less populated, and just all kinds of lakes. We're second in the number of lakes that we have. We're only second to Minnesota. So you get up there, and there's a lake about every mile or so, and everybody's got a cottage on there, except me. But go up there and camp and RV and whatever you want to do, whatever people want to do, kayaking, you know, great areas for kayaking. Even, you know, even if you don't get into the big lake, there's a lot of places to kayak, a lot of nice lazy type rivers because we're not particularly elevated. So there's not a lot of that. They just kind of more of a threading type of river that comes across Michigan. And there's a lot of those too. So
a lot of lakes up, what you call up north. We're talking about the fact that you said the back of the hand, the Michigan does, it looks like a hand, or that part of the southern part of Michigan, the main part of Michigan. But you're not even talking yet about the UP, are you?
No.
Yeah.
You get across the Big Mac, as the bridge is called.
Uh-huh.
It went in 1957. It's 5 miles long, and it's at the time it was the longest suspension bridge in the world. Of course, there have been other bridges that have come in since then. But once you get across the Big Mac, then you're kind of in a different populace. It's a lot like some of the more rural areas of North Idaho. That's kind of the feel of it. So there's a little bit more highlands and a lot of woods and a lot more animals. You know, there's wolves up there and a little rougher living than it is for us, villagers down here in the lower part of Michigan. So you get up there and it's, you're a little bit more self-sufficient and a little rougher living, more independent living, I would say.
Yeah. I believe the only time I've ever actually been in the state of Michigan, I could be wrong, but the only time I think I've been in was when I went to Isle Royale National Park in Lake Superior, which is...
Wow, you picked a good spot.
It's technically Michigan, which is always surprising to, it's surprising to some people because it's the closest land. It's closer to Minnesota than it is to Michigan, but it's And I think it's actually closest of all to Canada, but it's a part of Michigan. But that's the only time I've ever been. Everything else is a mystery to me, Mike.
Funny thing about our Isle Royale is that it's an island, of course, in Lake Superior, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's got a lake on the island and an island in the lake that's on the island that's in another.
Yes.
It's on an island in the lake. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's the largest. So, yeah.
On an island in a lake on an island in a lake.
Right. It's not only the largest island on a lake in the world, it's also has the largest island on a lake on an island on a lake in the world. Yeah.
Well, wait, hold it, guys. I'm sort of confused. One of the things I've noticed, Michael, as you've been talking, is that the actual coastline of Michigan, if you take the Upper Peninsula and then all around the state, the bottom part outside of where it touches Indiana, Ohio, that's got to be right up there with the most coastline of states in the United States.
Oh, I think so. I think even like California and that.
Yeah.
I'd have to look that
California
up.
California might be. Yeah. California, but I'm looking at it and pretty near beat Florida.
Yeah,
it seems to me. If you count, just simply, all of the areas, you're surrounded by water. I could see why it's the Great Lakes state. Mm-hmm. We hear about Lake Superior and Lake Michigan. What's Huron look like? I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, there's fewer people over there because it's a sunrise, not a sunset. And so it's a little bit, so you see that the sun come up over the horizon there. But it's the thing about Huron is that, it's on the east side of the state. It's a little less developed over there. People like to be on the west side for some reason. But then Huron will go all the way up into Canada. I mean, that as far as the width of Huron, especially up in the northeast, you know, corner of it. It just goes forever and ever and ever up there through on into Ontario, and then you're up into more of the polar regions. You know, you're really getting up further north. But there's a lot of water over there. And we get something called lake effect snow here. I don't know if you've heard about that, but what happens is the water's kind of warm, especially this time of year. The water's kind of warm. We had an event last week, and if you get a northwestern or northeastern wind that comes over the lake, then all that water will condense, and it'll pick up snow, and it'll really dump snow. So I got about an inch of snow a week ago, and there were areas more toward the lake that got 10 inches of snow.
Oh, yeah.
So we get that kind of an effect. And it's what Buffalo deals with, but, you know, we're a little bit less intense than, you know, Buffalo, New York is.
Right,
but
we
get a lot of snow that way. And we can even get it from Huron if we have, you know, if we have some weather coming in from the northeast, it'll come over Huron, and sometimes it can reach Battle Creek and some of the parts of in southwest Michigan.
Yeah. So yeah, I grew up in South Bend, Indiana, that always got lake effect snow from Michigan.
And Jim, they got like 12 inches of snow last week in South Bend.
Ooh, wow.
Crazy. I want to inform our listeners that we're actually recording this on November 17th. So when you hear this, just think back to last fall, because we're not going to air this for a while there, Mike, but just so our listeners know, at this point we have not, in mid-November, we haven't had so much as a skiff of snow here in Idaho.
Just a rumor.
Yeah, a little in the mountains. That's it. Anyway, not to distract, but yeah, you're already having your winter. I'm looking at a map of Michigan, and I'm going to show my ignorance right now. I had no idea where Detroit was. I thought it was further north. I knew it was on the shore of a lake. I think if you had decided to quiz me, I would have said, oh, it's probably on the shores of Lake Michigan. But I would have been wrong about that.
It's on the other side.
It's on the other side.
And Windsor, Canada, is on the other side of the water, you know, where Detroit is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All it is a tunnel and a relatively short bridge, and and you're in Canada. We used to go there because we'd get cheap beer there. So, and that was... But we go through the tunnel and we get the duty free Labatt's or whatever, and then we come back, you know, and on a young person's budget. But it's just Windsor is right across from Detroit, and Detroit is actually on the Detroit River, which is the river that runs between Lake St. Clair and Lake Erie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we go along there, and that's all Detroit. And Detroit means Detroit. You know, that's kind of a
Detroit.
Detroit, meaning there's three rivers. There were three rivers. Don't ask me which ones they were, but it was where three rivers come together.
Ah.
And, so that's where that name comes from.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Did you spend much time in Detroit as a youth? I guess you did. You were right outside.
Oh, yeah. And that was kind of the adventurous place to go. We were out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
I grew up in Berkeley, which is probably, they're mile roads. 8 mile road is the boundary of the city of Detroit. And so I was at 12 mile road. So they go every mile. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as, you know, teenagers, juniors, senior in high school, it was always an adventure to go into Detroit because it just kind of had a rough, you know, kind of a rough reputation. And we'd go down there to parties or whatever else and do that. So, but that was just 4 miles away. But we were kind of where it was a little safer, you know, felt a little safer in the suburbs. What happened in Detroit is there was an exodus out to the suburbs that was real big. It started in the 50s and went like through the 70s. So that's why Detroit got so, was such a low population. You know, at one point in the 50s, there were 2.5 million people there.
Yeah.
Now there's less than a million. So it's just everybody just for whatever reason went out to the suburbs, including my family.
Yeah.
So what can you tell us, Mike, about the Motown sound?
The Motown sound, yes. I mean, of course, Detroit has got, you know, is the home of Motown. Before Berry Gordy moved out to California there, we were the subject of many, many hits that were cut at that one little house. Maybe you've seen it, Hittsville, USA, in the front. And it was just like a two-story house. And I think my favorite story is that Marvin Gaye lived just a few blocks from there. And when he was recording What's Going On, he would just walk to the studio and just start putting music down, you know, and started to record some things and that. So it brings to mind that that's kind of how that was made. So of course the masterpiece, but it's, but you know, a lot of that has really changed, but I'm glad it's turned into a museum and that we have
great history.
Preserved it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful history. And now we're, the heydays are gone as far as the Motown, I think. It's more about, Ted Nugent is from Michigan, which is about as far from Motown as you can get.
Yeah.
Eminem. Mm-hmm. And of course, Aretha, you know, we've got
That's
the new
right.
amphitheater named after her right on the river in downtown Detroit. So that's the Aretha Franklin Amphitheater, and it's a beautiful outdoor space. Kid Rock, we tried to, you know, brush that off. But
how about Bob Seger?
Yes, Bob Seger. Actually, my brother saw Bob Seger at the Grand Ballroom, which was a concert venue that was really mm-hmm. big in like the late 60s. There's a legend there. Now it's just totally in disrepair, but Led Zeppelin played there and Clapton played there, and you know, and it's just a small venue, but they came in and did that. And my brother saw Bob Seger before
wow.
he moved to California. You know, he rattled around Detroit for 10 years before he really made
before
it
he yeah. How about the MC5, Motor City MC5. 5?
Absolutely, you know. So that's
kicking out the jams.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It will stop there.
I can't play that one on KRFY.
No, we can't.
Yeah. What haven't we talked? Time's flying by.
Food.
Yeah. What dish was it that brought you back to Michigan, Mike?
Cereal.
Yeah.
No, it's Detroit pizza. I don't know if you've ever had
Detroit. Oh, yes, man. Yes.
Have you?
Tell the story behind how they got they used oil pans from vehicles online or something like that.
Right. It was, they're trays that where they would put tools in, you know, in car repair shops and on the assembly line and that kind of thing. And there's this old, you know, the bar is still there. It's called Buddy's. And they started making pizza there. And the claim to fame is that they take these metal pans and they get really, really hot, of course, when you put them in the oven. But the idea is that you push that cheese all the way to the edge. And then it melts and it goes down the side.
Ooh.
And it makes it really nice and crispy. And you put the sauce on top, so it's a little different. And but it's like it's a thick crust pizza, but it's just got that crunch and that flavor. It's almost like a fried flavor. It's kind of nutty. Well, you know, you get that cheese, the melted cheese in that. And there's a lot of people that claim, you know, that they make the best Detroit style pizza. But I think Buddy's is probably right up there. So that was the original one. And then, of course, there's some chains that have come in that do Detroit style pizza. And even Pizza Hut has tried to do it. But, you know, bless their hearts.
But it's rectangular shape. That's the... if I'm not mistaken, rather than circular, it's rectangular shape, which is makes it somewhat unique.
It is. And what you do is you raise the dough twice. And so what you're going to do is make it like a regular pizza, and then you proof it so that it raises it. Then you punch it down, you put it in the pan, then you raise it again. And then you put your toppings on it. And it's not made with mozzarella cheese. Authentically, it is brick cheese from Wisconsin, which is also a really nice, you know, light cheese.
But right,
not mozzarella. It's mozzarella, and it's not authentic. So the other one is Coney dogs, so which I never got real excited about those. It's like a chili dog, but it's made with beef parts that you normally wouldn't eat.
Huh.
Okay.
So chopped, like, beef heart and that kind of thing. It's all in the chili and that. But I never got too excited about the Coney dogs. I'm more of the pizza.
Well, it is good pizza. We've actually got you can get Detroit-style pizza out here now, Mike. This is new.
Oh, okay. Where?
This is a new development. There's a new spot over on Pine Street. It's called, what's it called? The Forge. It's called The Forge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a Detroit style pizza there.
Great.
Yeah. Well, you'll have
You're going to have to come back.
You're going to have to come back and try it. Yeah.
And I'll have to critique it. Yeah.
Yeah. Give them the honest review. Okay. It's time flies by. We're at 20 minutes now. What haven't we talked about? What have we missed here, Mike? What didn't we ask you about?
I think it's the sports teams, you know, the fact that Michigan and Notre Dame really don't play anymore. And that's just heartbreaking because we love to beat Notre Dame.
Boo. <Right here. laughs>
Oh, poor Jim.
I had to go there. Mm-hmm. I had to go there. But yeah, now that college football's changed so much that, you know, a lot of the traditions have gone, and I miss that. I miss those Michigan Notre Dame games.
Ditto.
Yeah. Hey, what's your experience of, Detroit, in my mind, it was already kind of on the downhill slide when I was growing up, just reputation wise, because manufacturing was going downhill and people were leaving, and then the financial crisis hit, and I think Detroit was really in trouble there for a while. But I think I read lately is that it's kind of on a little bit of a rebound. Have you found that to be the case?
A lot of a rebound, really. Yeah. There was the old Hudson's department store that was downtown Detroit. It was like six stories. It was a six-story department store. And, of course, it got raised, after a while, after everything changed. But then now they've built this beautiful new development. It's the new headquarters of GM. And they're going to redo the Renaissance Center, which is another big part of our skyline there. They're going to take a couple towers out and redevelop that public space. I think what they've done mostly is develop the riverfront. That used to be you couldn't, as a member of the public, you couldn't really enjoy the riverfront very much. It was just all developed and closed off, whatever. Now it's like there's a trail that goes along the riverfront and it connects to another one. But Detroit is coming back big time. Really is. It's getting to be real pretty now.
Well, that's nice to hear. Warms the heart. Let's see.
We have a big battery park that's going in just about 15 miles from me. And it's going to be a plant that makes batteries for EVs. So that's Ford is at the forefront of the EV revolution here. So we'll see how that plays out.
Cool.
Well, we don't want to upset anyone in the listening audience, but can you say something about Michigan State?
Michigan State. Well, that's I went there for a year.
Okay.
I didn't quite make it. It was pretty big for me, but yeah, Michigan State University is one of the bigger universities in the country, really. It's about 45,000 students. So I kind of got lost in the crowd up there, and I actually went up there for a year, and then I went back to Western and finished up. So I enjoyed that a little bit more. So the class sizes were smaller.
great rivalry.
Yeah, and the rivalry with
Michigan and Michigan State.
Michigan, oh yeah, and there was a game a few years ago where it was a blocked punt at the end of it.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, you look it up on YouTube. I think it's 2017 or something like that. I love that game. Although I'm more of a Michigan fan than I am Michigan State, so I lean towards it.
Well,
that's because my dear old dad is watching from heaven, and he's going to make sure that I stay a Michigan fan, so, and my whole family was that way. So,
go Blue.
My cousin actually works there. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. We've done it. Now we've reached our pretty much the end of our time. Unless there's any last remarks or wisdom you can send us over the phone from Michigan, Mike. This is going to air on February 11th, right around Super Bowl time. Are the Lions in it? What's your prediction?
Oh, for the Lions, I don't know if they're going to make it this year. Last night's game wasn't fun at all. It was not fun. And that was when they played the Eagles in November. It wasn't a good one. I think they're going to have to, they're probably going to make the playoffs, but I don't know how far they're going to go. It was kind of like the Tigers did this year too. They did pretty well. They got into the playoffs, but I didn't think they were going to go all that far yet. So we'll keep trying. It's better than being last place. But I think come visit. I can tell people just come visit Michigan. There's wonderful things to do and just something for everybody. And we grow, we're like top five in five crops in the United States. So we're number two in cranberries. We're number two in blueberries. Of course, sweet chickens are number one. So we're really, as far as agriculture goes, horticulture and fruits and vegetables, we grow everything here. And so the farmers markets are alive and well, and you can eat really good here.
Well,
but there's so much for people to do. Come visit Michigan, I'll give anybody a free tour of Battle Creek and surrounding.
Well, as a kid growing up in northern Indiana, we used to scoot up to Michigan to pick apples, to pick cherries, sure. And when you mentioned Holland, Michigan, the Tulip Festival, just amazing. And then the we used to go to Lake Michigan to the dunes, the beautiful sand beaches, Tower Hill, and just fantastic. It's a sportsman's paradise.
It is. And that's what Gordon Lightfoot said. Lake Michigan and the bays are for sportsmen.
Yep.
And so, yep. Lake Michigan steams like a young man's dreams.
Well, Michael, we want to thank you so much for being Michigan's representative on Know Your States, Know Your Community, and enjoy your cereal and enjoy your deep dish pizza. And we never got to Pop-Tarts. That'll be another conversation.
It will.
Okay, take care.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Mike.